I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are sometimes on the bank of the Radhakund Lake or the shores of the Jamuna, and sometimes at Vamshivat. There they appear just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamya Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashkatya Nishitani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hockey wins at 8:30. Okay. So here in this verse, it's explained that the Goswamis were regularly seen on the banks of Radhakund. So this is nice actually to remember Radhakund and to remember that Radhakund is actually the most spiritual place in the world. There is no more confidential place in the world than Radhakund. He said that in the whole of the material creation, the most spiritually potent place is Vaikuntha. And then he said that within Vaikuntha, the most spiritually potent place is Mathura. He said that in Mathura Mandal, the most spiritually potent place is Braj. And it said that within Braj, the most potent spiritual place is Govardhan. And then it said in the area of Govardhan, the most spiritually potent place is Radhakund. So sometimes we just walk into Radhakund, like, okay, here we are, Radhakund. But actually it's a very, very spiritually, it's the topmost place in the whole of the creation, Radhakund. So very, very confidential. Why is it so confidential? Of course we know the story behind Radhakund, that Krishna had killed the demon Aristasura, the bull demon. And then that happened about noontime in the day. So he killed with the cowherd boys, they killed the demon. Anyway, and then they had lunch and other things. And then in the evening they went to meet Srimati Radharani and the gopis, and Srimati Radharani said, no, we cannot engage in any pastimes because you've committed too much of a sin. The bull is the father, Dharma, representative of Dharma. And you've killed a bull. Doesn't matter that he was a demon, he was a bull. So you have to atone. So Krishna said, okay, so what? How do I atone? So she said, you have to bathe in all the holy rivers in the universe. So Krishna was like, well, I'm not going to go around everywhere and bathe in all the universe, you know, all the different kunds, the holy rivers. So then what he did is he dug his heel into the ground and then created like a small crater, and then all the personifications of the holy rivers came there and then filled up that place, and that became known as Shankund. And then Krishna told Radharani that you should also create a lake. So then they started taking off their bangles and trying to also build like a crater. So then it was hard work. And then they were trying to bring the water from Manasi Ganga. So if you know Govardhan, and you know Manasi Ganga is like far away. That's like in Govardhan village. So they're bringing buckets, and Krishna was like, you're never going to do it like this. It's going to take too long. But they refused, and then finally they allowed Krishna to invite also the holy rivers to come there, and that's how Radhakund was formed. So like this, it's said that Radhakund is the personification of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. It's a very, very confidential place. And sometimes when we go to these places, the main thing is we're remembering what's really important. Like, okay, yesterday we were talking about BBT and KBI and all the different managerial aspects of ISKCON, and okay, this is also spiritual because it's service to Krishna. But beyond all of this management, beyond all of the, you know, bureaucracy of an institution, beyond all of the day-to-day, you know, conflicts that we may have, this is what's really important, to develop love for Krishna. Everything else we do is just so that we can develop love for Krishna. So that's why it's important to have this very strong internal spiritual connection directly with all of these things. And then, okay, practically we do so many things to serve the mission as well. We have to have a practical side to our spiritual personality, and then we also have to have a very deep spiritual side as well. And just like here it said, the Goswamis were running around Radhakund like madmen in ecstasy. That's like very spiritual. But then at the same time, on the other hand, they were building temples. They were engaging rich people, and they were doing very, very practical work to organize the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both practical and very deep spiritual as well. You both have to be there. Just like when Vidyananda Maharaj took sannyas, then he came to Srila Prabhupada, and so Prabhupada said, so what's your plan now? And Vidyananda Maharaj said, I'm so happy, Srila Prabhupada, now I can just travel and preach, which is what sannyasis do. And Prabhupada just gave him like a dirty look. And he was like thinking, like, what, is there something wrong? I thought this is what sannyasis do. So he said, Prabhupada, I'm just going to travel around the world, I'm just going to preach Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, you should be like me. And then Prabhupada said, in the morning I give the Bhagavatam class, and in the afternoon I go to the bank. And he said, preaching means also management. Preaching and management, relishing and also practical tasks also. This is what sannyas means. So Srila Prabhupada was the ideal example of that. So deeply spiritual, but so practical on the other side as well. Like, there was no one more practical than Srila Prabhupada. So when we read about this, then we're remembering that, yeah, what's really important. Ultimately, why do devotees go and stay in Radhakund? Because in Radhakund, the most confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna are taking place. It said that next to Shyamkund is Manasapavan Ghat. And there every day Srimati Radharani takes her afternoon bath and offers her prayers there. And it said that for one who has the spiritual vision, they can go even to Radhakund, Shyamkund today and see that taking place, because those pastimes are Nitya Lila. So it's all happening there. It said that Radha and Krishna, they have Rasa Lila in many places in Braj. One of the places they have Rasa Leela is at Radhakund. So Radhakund is very, very deep spiritual significance for us. And of course in the Nectar of Instruction it said that if one bathes in Radhakund even once, then their pure love for Krishna will definitely be aroused. So of course then we know there are many footnotes to that. You have to be in the right consciousness. After bathing Radhakund, you have to make sure that you don't again fall into sinful activity. Then, you know, like this is the main reason that these descriptions are given. It's not that they're overestimations or exaggerations. This is the power of these spiritual practices. So the reason these descriptions are given is just to awaken within us a great reverence for actually these places and their spiritual potency that can be accrued if one goes there in the right frame of mind. So like this, Radhakund is a very, very deeply spiritual place. And he said that the Goswamis here were to be found at Radhakund. So probably the most famous of the Goswamis who were staying in Radhakund was Raghunath Das Goswami. Some of you may have been. If you go behind Radhakund, you walk up the stairs, then behind there you can find the Bhajan Kuti of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he had many deep exchanges with Radha Krishna at Radha Kund. One time he was chanting on the banks of Radha Kund, and Sanatana Goswami was watching him. And as he was chanting, completely absorbed, oblivious to anything around him, there was a tiger that had come to Sham Kund to drink water. So, you know, like wild tigers in Braj is very dangerous. So, as Sanatana Goswami, he saw this tiger, then he also became nervous, you know, that maybe something may happen. And then he saw an amazing sight that Krishna actually came there. Krishna came there and Krishna was herding cows, so he had his stick in his hand. And he saw that Krishna was actually guarding Raghunath Das Goswami so that the tiger wouldn't come close. Anyway, finally the tiger drank and then left, and then Krishna left, and then Sanatana Goswami came to Raghunath Das Goswami. He goes, "Oh my God, you realize Krishna, he was protecting you here. Maybe you should like do your bhajan in a safer place, like in a bhajan kutir or something." So Raghunath Das Goswami heard him, but he didn't take it too seriously. And then he said, after some time, again he was chanting on the banks of Radha Kund. And of course in Braj in the summer it gets very, very heat. The heat is very, very strong. So one time he was chanting and the midday sun was so intense. And he was just absorbed in his chanting, again oblivious to everything. And Sanatana Goswami was watching him. And then this time what happened is that Srimati Radharani came. So Srimati Radharani came behind him. And then with her sari, she kind of covered the sun so that he would get some shade. And like that, he was just chanting and she was just standing there covering him. And her body was sweating and everything. And then, you know, after some time, you know, when the sun went down, and Srimati Radharani left, and then Sanatana Goswami came to him again. He said, "My God, first it was Krishna, and that wasn't bad enough, you engaged Krishna in your service, now you engage with Srimati Radharani in your service." So then he said to Raghunath Das Goswami, "You better do something about this." And then finally they built a bhajan kutir for Raghunath Das Goswami. And that was actually the start of how bhajan kutirs came about. That was the first one. So now you go to Vrindavan and you see so many. But the first one was actually Raghunath Das Goswami. And if you look inside the bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami, then you can actually see the picture of that someone's painted it, of Srimati Radharani. Giving him shade like that. So like this, the Goswamis were engaged in their deep bhajan, sometimes dancing, sometimes singing around Radha Kund. So sometimes people are bewildered when they come to the temple and they see like devotees singing and dancing. It's like, you know, sometimes they come for Gaura Aarti, nice, you know, service at the temple, you know, Sunday night, and then, you know, they come into the temple room and like everyone's like going for, you know, the wampas and singing and dancing. And sometimes people are bewildered that how is it that in, you know, in a temple you can be engaged in such activities like singing and dancing. But actually if you think about it, singing and dancing are the two most profound expressions of one's emotion. There's probably no other activities in this world which are really outpourings of the heart more than singing and dancing, actually. So, of course, naturally, in the deepest relationship we have in this world, which is our relationship with Krishna, naturally, we would be utilizing that singing and dancing. So it's quite natural, actually, to utilize this. So sometimes the Goswamis were singing and dancing around Radha Kund, and sometimes they were just intensely absorbed in doing their own chanting. So they were chanting with such intensity. Guru Govinda Maharaj used to say that we're not opening temples. In case you thought we were opening temples, we're not. We're not opening temples, we're actually opening crying houses. We're actually opening crying houses where people can come and learn the art of how to cry for Krishna. So Prabhupada also wrote that in one letter, or he says it in one lecture, that one should learn this small art of how to cry for Krishna. So the Goswamis were doing that. They were singing, dancing, and engaged in deep absorption, crying out for Krishna by chanting his holy name. So it's very, 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 very significant. This verse is reminding us that, you know, this is the perfection. This is where we're trying to elevate ourselves to this position. And then the natural question is that when are we qualified to go to Radhakund? Do we go to Radhakund now? Do we have to wait? What is our relationship with Radhakund? Okay, this is the Goswamis, but what's our relationship with Radhakund? So there are many injunctions that one should go to Vrindavan. In the Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritecha Ma Mekam Saranam Raja, that one should abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. In his commentary on the Gita, Sarata Varshini, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a deeper meaning of the verse. When Krishna says, Ma Mekam Saranam Raja, he says, this doesn't just mean that Krishna is saying, come to me and abandon everything and surrender unto me. He says when Krishna uses the word braja, he actually means braj. So not only should one surrender to Krishna, but one should immediately go to braj, because that's the best place to surrender to Krishna. So like this, like many, many acharyas and different teachers are giving us this inspiration that we should go to Vrindavan. So definitely we should go to Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada explained that Vrindavan in the sadhaka stage is generally only for inspiration. And even going to Radhakund is actually only for inspiration. Because it requires some great qualification to stay in such a place and to fully absorb oneself in remembrance of Krishna. It's not so easy. See, when we go to the holy dam once, then it's nice because it's the first time and everything's fresh. Then you go a second time and okay, it still has some charm because there's certain things you haven't seen. And then third time, fourth time. After fourth, fifth, sixth time, the novelty of the dam wears out. And unless one has something deeper, unless one has some deeper realization, then one won't actually be able to appreciate the holy dam. And therefore, the sacrifice that we make, the service that we do here, the blessings that we accrue in our place of service, this is the currency, this is the credit which allows us to go to the Dham and really experience the Dham. So, one can buy a ticket to Vrindavan, or one can take a rickshaw into Radhakund, but if one doesn't have the currency of sacrifice behind them, if they don't have the currency of blessings, if they don't have the well-wishings of devotees to go there, then one will not be able to actually experience anything. And therefore, even in ISKCON today, some spiritual masters, they tell their disciples that before you go to Radhakund, before you go to Vrindavan, you have to ask for permission. Because only when you go with permission and blessings and with some sacrifice, then you can experience it. And the example of that is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. That he was, if you don't remember the story, he was living in his house. And then one day, Miniketana Ram, who was a great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu, came to his house. But Kaviraj Goswami's brother just kind of ignored him and he didn't really give him much attention. And basically offended him quite badly. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami felt so bad. Miniketana Ram, he just left, angry. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was thinking, my God, we've committed a big aparadh here, a big offense. So that night he was sleeping. And then it said that very night, so much anxiety in Krishna Das Kaviraj's mind at this offense. That night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his dream. And then he said to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Hare Hare Krishna Das, Nakaraha Bhai. O Krishna Das, do not fear. Vrindavana Yahataha, go straight to Vrindavan, Sarva Labhyahai, and there you will get everything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his dream and he said, okay, now go to Vrindavan and you will get everything there. And then he woke up in the morning, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami said, now I've been given permission and instruction to go to Vrindavan. So then the very next day he left for Vrindavan. And then in Vrindavan, because he went with permission, he got everything. He got the best place to live in Vrindavan. He was living on the banks of Shyamkund, Radhakund. He got the best association in Vrindavan. He was living with Raghunath Das Goswami. And he got an amazing service in Vrindavan. He got to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he got the best service, he got the best residence, he got the best association. Why? Because when he went with permission. He went with blessings. So that's very, very important. So here in this verse, basically, is being talked about how the Goswamis had a very deep relationship with Radhakund, and also that is very significant for us, but we should develop our relationship with Radhakund and all these holy places in the right way, through the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And we're not qualified to meditate on Krishna's Rasa Leela, not at this stage anyway. And therefore, when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj spent time with Srila Prabhupada at Radhakund, then they were walking and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj didn't open up any esoteric topics. Instead, when they were walking on the banks of Radhakund and Srila Prabhupada was there, then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj at the banks of Radhakund gave him the famous instruction. If you ever get money, print books. Because preaching Krishna consciousness is non-different from Rasa Leela. Because Rasa Leela, there's a deeper understanding that Rasa Leela is all about the gopis and Radharani who are bringing each other closer to Krishna. So they're putting the others before them and saying, okay, come, you meet Krishna now. And when we preach and we go out, and Indra Prabhu would say that when you go out and you give a book or you preach to someone about Krishna consciousness, then it's like you're giving them an invitation to join the Rasa Leela. So it's non-different from the activities of the gopis. So we may not be qualified to meditate on the pastimes of Radha Krishna, but what we can definitely meditate on is the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And in that way we qualify ourselves to actually enter into these pastimes. Any questions? So here is also said that there were sometimes on the bank of Radhakund Lake with the shores of the Jumuna and sometimes at Vamshivat. So these are the places where Krishna had many pastimes. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but when you come out of Krishna Balaram temple and you do a right, then you go straight and then you hit the Parikrama mark. So then if you go right and then you carry on and then you go right again and you start walking down, then that's the Parikrama mark. And then when you walk down and you go past Madan Mohan temple and Imlital and all of those places, Keshigat, then there the Jamuna is right there. So it's said that that place, that road is known as the Cowherd Boys Trail. So when you see that picture of Krishna running with the gopas and Krishna's in the front with Balaram and the cows, it's said that that is actually a depiction of that place in Vrindavan. So Krishna was on the shores of the Jamuna and he was with the Cowherd Boys and tending to the cows and things like that. So the Goswamis were spending time there. The Goswamis, they had bhajan kutirs in different places. So for example, Sanatan Goswami, he had three or four places where he would do bhajan. And one of those places is at that place, the Cowherd Boys Trail, which overlooks the Jamuna. So if you go to Madan Mohan Temple, I don't know if any of you have been, but if you go to Madan Mohan Temple and then you walk down and to the back, then you come to Sanatan Goswami's Samadhi there, and Bhajan Kutira, and they said that he was performing sadhana there. So like that, Krishna performed many different pastimes, and then the Goswamis would set up their Bhajan Kutiras in different places to meditate on those pastimes. Vamshivat is a tree, and you can even go to that place today. And they said that at midday, Krishna would come under the Vamshivat tree, and he would play his flute. So the famous verse is there, Shriman Rasa Rasarambi Vamshivata Tatasvita Karshan Venu Svaner Gopi Gopinathai Shri Eshtanaha. That at midday Krishna would play his flute under the Vamshivat tree, and when the gopis would hear the sound of that flute, then no matter what they were doing, some of them were dressing themselves, some of them were cooking, some of them were tending to the tending to the children, some of them were having a conversation with someone, some of them were doing household chores, but no matter what they were doing, they would just give up their activities and immediately run to meet Krishna. So like this, Krishna at different times in the day was having pastimes with the gopis and also with the cowherd boys like that. And then sometimes someone thinks, but how is it possible, you know, because to go from this place is like so far. And they, you know, Krishna went so quick from here to here. But they said that Vrindavan is like a lotus. So it contracts and it expands to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So if Krishna wants to get from one place to another to perform another pastime, then Vrindavan actually contracts. And then Krishna is able to immediately be in that other place. And when they asked Srila Prabhupada, how is it that Krishna is able to go around Vrindavan so quickly, you know, from this place to that place? Then Prabhupada gave the example, he said, because this is your relative understanding, just like he said, for an ant to walk from this side of the room to here will take all day, but for you it will take 2 seconds. So you're now measuring Krishna according to what your capacity is, but Krishna is much beyond that capacity. So like that, Krishna would be in different places in Braj at different times in the day, performing pastimes. And therefore the Goswamis, they set up their Bhajan Kutiras in different places. Like the other famous Bhajan Kutira is in Tirukadamba. It's a very beautiful place. And this is where Rupa Goswami wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So like that. On the edges of Vrindavan you can go to a place called Akrura Ghat, and here you can see the crocodile hole where Jiva Goswami was doing his bhajan. If you go on Govardhan Parikrama and you get to the end where there's Apsara Kund, then behind that kund you can see a cave, and you can actually go inside the cave, and here it said that in this cave Raghava Pandit was doing his bhajan. So like this, in different places in Braj, you have all these bhajan kutiras where the Goswamis were, as it said in this verse, just like madman full of ecstasy and experiencing transcendental symptoms.
How did you like, I know you've been in Vrindavan a couple of times, but like, I think you were saying that you went once and then didn't go for a long time, right? Like, so in between that, how did you learn so much about Vrindavan? Like, what did you read? Like, what did you hear? Like, where is it all documented?
If you want to learn about Vrindavan, there's different things. One good book is Bhakti Ratnakar, because in that book, Jiva Goswami, he takes Srinivas Acharya on Rajamandala Parikrama. So then all the different pastime places are explained there. Another really good book to read if you want to know about Vrindavan is Shivram Maharaj's book, Nava Raja Mahima. All the pastimes are contained in there, because he's taken from all the different acharya collections. Otherwise you can listen to lectures, Dina Mandapur, there's many parikrama lectures and things like that. Hear those lectures also. And then there's all these guidebooks and dharma books, which are also very good. But we're not only trying to establish a relationship with Krishna, we're trying to establish a relationship with the Dharma as well. Like whenever Srila Prabhupada talks about worshipping Krishna, he says, worship Krishna, his name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes and above, he always says. So actually we have to also develop a relationship with Vrindavan, because that's our hope. Ultimately, you know, like they have those t-shirts people wear, it says, you know, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. So, Jai Veta Maharaj once he said, just make sure you lose your heart to the right person. Because also, sometimes people go to Vrindavan and then they lose their heart to someone else, international place. But we want to lose our heart in Vrindavan because Vrindavan is home. Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office, Mayapur is my place of worship, but Vrindavan is my home. So it's nice to have that relationship with Vrindavan so that at any point in the day you can just close your eyes and remember Vrindavan and remember that all of this is okay, I'm here for service, but my home is somewhere else. So we normally think of this as home. But this is just hotel. That's the Vrindavan's home. And therefore, yesterday I was quoting Prabhupada, he was on Janaduta, and he said, you know, today the ship is plying very smoothly, but I'm feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my Lord Sri Govinda Gopinath Radhadamaka. So that to always be in that mood of separation from Vrindavan. Very healthy, and that's what's talked about in the next verse. And the Goswamis were feeling that separation for sure. So yeah, you can read those books, and then you can learn more about them. And it's powerful because then when you go there, you can already immediately enter into a deeper meditation of the significance of that place.
You know, all these personalities that you said, like Radha Pandit and the other Goswamis, are there a lot of their, any of the stories in the CC, or is it more in other books?
No, there's some things about the Goswamis in the CC, but these you can also, devotees have made compilations, like Satyaraj Prabhu, so you can learn a lot from those. And then there's many books which... Sorry?
Stephen Rosen.
Stephen Rosen, yeah. Oh, Stephen Rosen.
That's
the same person. Stephen Knapp, I think you're thinking about. Yeah. But yeah, Stephen Rosen, Satyaraj, he's written many books. And then also there's quite a few books, like Mahanidhi Maharaj has written a book called 64 Samadhis or something like that, which contains a biography of all the different... It's nice, I was telling JD to do that, but he hasn't done it either. But, you know, every Monday when we have a Brahmacharya meeting, then we announce all the things on the Vaishnava calendar. Because, you know, like, for example, it was like last week was the disappearance of Jagadish Pandit. And everyone's like, how do you go? No one knows. So I was telling him, like, every Monday you should, you know, say what's happening in the Vaishnava calendar. And then also say something about that personality, because it's a good way to learn and also a good way to keep the meditation. So there's different books you can read about to learn about the different personalities.
It's not dangerous to go to Vrindavan, because I've heard even just going to the bathroom in Vrindavan is committing an offence.
It means you have to be careful about your conduct while you're there. Yeah. Bathroom in a sense. Go for a shower without a gumshoe or something. Maybe. I mean, you just have to be very conscious about how you do all your activities. And Vrindavan is also... You said that Mayapur is Audharya Dham, so it's very magnanimous, very compassionate. full of mercy. And Vrindavan is known as Madhuryata, which means it's full of sweetness, sweet pastimes. But still the reaction there is more heavy if one is not following properly. So Prabhupada said, you know, if you don't have the qualification, then you'll go to Radhakund, but you will not see Radhakund, you'll see Narakund, which means the lake of hell. And the devotee said, what do you mean by that? And Prabhupada said, because if you don't have proper conduct, and if you don't have proper consciousness, then you'll go to Radhakund, and there many Babajis are doing many, many sinful activities. You know, they're reenacting Krishna's Rasa Leela with like women, and so many things can be going on. So he said that all of these personalities actually, they again take birth in Vrindavan as monkeys. And that's why there's so many monkeys in Vrindavan. Because they're basically dumb vasis, or residents of the holy dharma, in their previous life committed many aparats there. But still Krishna, because they're still residents of Vrindavan, Krishna gives them that mercy to stay in Vrindavan. So it's heavy. So therefore, Jagadananda Pandit told Sanatana Goswami, or maybe the other way around, that you should only stay in Vrindavan for 3 days. So okay, you may stay a little longer, but the principle is there that you don't stay too long. Unless you have a service there, unless you've come there to leave your body or die, unless you've come for some specific tapasya or something, Vrindavan is only for inspiration. At least in this stage. Okay, finish there.